When I was ordained in 1981, I was appointed deacon to the bishops of Colorado. My responsibilities included planning the visits of the diocesan and suffragan bishops, communicating with the ordained and lay leadership of the diocese regarding matters of pastoral concern, and doing whatever else the bishops wanted me to do. Those of us who are here tonight and who are ordained are familiar with that wonderful line in the ordination service, and other such duties as may be assigned to you from time to time. Some of us find most of our ministry seems to be other such duties as are assigned to you from time to time. I think it's true whether you're a deacon, a priest, or a bishop. Well, one morning I received a telephone call from St. Luke's Hospital in Denver. In those days, the hospital was closely connected with the Episcopal Diocese and had its own chaplain. It just so happened that the chaplain was away on holiday, and a patient in the hospital had requested communion. Not knowing whom to call, the nurse called the diocesan office. And as things happen, and I've discovered this throughout my career, they always seem to end up on my telephone sooner or later. And so I had this nurse saying, "Would you please come?" And of course I said, "Yes, I'll be glad to come." Now, I have to be honest, I was a bit annoyed. The chaplain was supposed to have called me before leaving on vacation so that we could arrange coverage by one of the nearby parishes. But of course, he'd gotten into vacation mode and just, poof, was gone. So here I was in the midst of preparing a major budget presentation for the whole diocese, winging off to the hospital to do somebody else's job. The patient's name was Eulalia. She came from a Greek family. Eulalia means well-spoken or good speaker. And in the years to come, she and I would become good friends. But that day, all I saw was an elderly woman who was taking me away from my real work. I introduced myself, rather pompously, as Richard Leggett, deacon to the bishops. You wasn't particularly impressed by the introduction. And so we chatted for a few minutes and then began the communion service. Everything was going fine until I got to the Lord's Prayer. I heard myself say, "And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say," and then I could not remember any of the words, whether the traditional form or the contemporary form. I just drew a complete blank. We stumbled along, Eulalia being somewhat unsure of where this confused young deacon was going. Communion was shared. I muttered some sort of concluding prayer and sat in silence, trying to recollect myself. Eulalia looked at me and looked up and down a couple of times and paused and then reached out and patted my hand and said, "It's okay, Father Richard. You'll get better at this." A few years later, when I officiated at Eulalia's funeral, I remembered what she had said to me when we had first met. Hers was a difficult funeral, not just because a wonderful woman had died after many years of battling cancer. Hers was a difficult funeral because her family, whom she loved fiercely, had split over the ordination of women. And they literally sat on opposite sides of the church. And I don't mean close to the center aisle. I mean close to the side aisles, as far away from each other as they could sit. I remember preaching about how we are already one in Christ through our baptism, but that we are not yet as truly one as God wishes us to be. "We are," I said, "a work in progress." Eulalia, you see, had taught me that baptism and ordination were only beginnings. I still had much to learn, and I would always be in the process of becoming who I am, both as a Christian and as a priest. And Eulalia, as she was almost unfailingly, was right. We still have much to learn. This already, but not yet, is at the heart of what the writer of the letter to the Ephesians is trying to say to the Christians at Ephesus, and some 2,000 years later, to the Christians who gather here tonight to celebrate the new ministry of Marian as priest of this parish of St. Matthias and St. Luke. In the first part of tonight's reading, we heard that we are already one because there is one body and one spirit. There is one hope in our calling. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and there is one God and Father of all. These are facts for the Christian. But this unity is not yet fulfilled because of the divisions that continue to exist not only between Christians and non-Christians and between differing Christian communions. Sometimes divisions exist within congregations, and the unity which is already ours in Christ falls under the shadow of rivalries, hurt feelings, and unrealized expectations. Sometimes we fail to know that we are one in Christ because we cannot see beyond the boundaries of our congregations, and so we cannot see the riches of God's gifts poured out, not only on each one of us, but on our sisters and brothers who are members of the same body and who share the same hope. Tonight, we gather to do something more than celebrate the beginning of a new relationship between Marian and this parish of St. Matthias and St. Luke. We gather to reaffirm that we are already one in Christ, and that through the gifts that the Spirit bestows on us as individuals and as communities of faith, we are still growing into that unity, so that the whole world may see that things which were cast down are being raised up, and that things which had grown old are being made new by Christ through whom all things were made. What happens in the days, weeks, months, and years ahead here on 49th Avenue between Oak and Canby matters not just to this congregation, but to all of us who are striving as disciples of Christ to proclaim the good news of God in a society whose ears are sometimes deaf to our voices and whose eyes are sometimes clouded to the signs of God's kingdom already present among us. God needs us. God needs this congregation of disciples as witnesses to the unity of the human family, both a present reality and a future hope. But we will not get better, as Eulalia once promised me, if we are not committed to each other and to each other's congregations as if they were our own. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something that the Archbishop is going to ask you to do something like it in a few minutes. So bear with me. I ask every baptized Christian who is not a member of St. Matthias and St. Luke to stand, please. Everyone who is not a member of this congregation, please stand. Will you offer, as far as lies within you, your gifts to the people of St. Matthias and St. Luke, so that this congregation may grow in the love and service of Christ? If so, please say, "We will."
We will.
Don't sit down. Now I ask every member of the parish of St. Matthias and St. Luke to stand, please. Look around you. You are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. You are not alone, nor are you asked to stand alone. Will you, as far as lies within you, continue to grow into the fullness of the stature of Christ, not for your own sake alone, but for the sake of the community where you have been called to serve? If so, please say, we will.
We will.
Don't sit down. Marion, would you please stand? Look around you. You are surrounded by disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, both from this parish and beyond. You are not alone, nor are you asked to stand alone. Will you, as far as lies within you, use your gifts to equip the saints for the work of ministry in this congregation and in this community you have been called to lead? If so, please say, I will. Now you may be seated. I can hear Eulalia saying, well done for the promises you've just made. But do not forget that tonight is but a beginning. We are one in Christ. We have been given many gifts. We are one in the ministry entrusted to us by a loving God. But we are not yet fully who and what we are called to become. We still have a ways to go in our journey of faith and ministry. But I can promise you one thing. We will get better as we go along in this together.